My guest at this time is South Carolina freshman Congressman Mick Mulvaney, who represents the Palmetto State's 5th Congressional District. He's also the chairman of the Contracting and Workforce Subcommittee of the House Small Business Committee. We want to get his impressions of the president's jobs plan, as well as some of the ideas he would like to see involved in a jobs plan passing through Congress and signed into law. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
Well, the bill has been out there for a couple days now. How much of it have you been able to see? And between what you've read and what you've heard, what do you make of it?
Yeah, we actually just got the full text yesterday. We got a summary, I think, yesterday morning, and the full text yesterday afternoon. You know, it's almost as if he went through the original stimulus bill and just changed the word stimulus to jobs. It's a lot of the same thing that we've seen before. Obviously, the rhetoric that you're seeing him push out of on the campaign trail is the same thing as before. It's so disappointing that, you know, we had all this buildup, supposedly all this effort on the part of the administration to come up with something new, and then what we get are the same things that, you know, we saw 2 years ago that didn't work.
We're seeing all sorts of different aspects of this, from the extension of the payroll tax cut from the lame duck session last year to a lot of spending on infrastructure and trade agreements, jobless benefits extension, all sorts of things. Is there anything in there that you think ought to be part of a final bill?
Well, there's bits and pieces, and that was what's so disappointing about it, is if the president really wanted to get something done and accomplished, I think what he would have done is given us things that he knew the Republicans could support, and things that he's already talked about supporting himself. For example, he's talked in the past about changing the way we tax corporations overseas. In order to encourage investment here. We're the only developed nation that double taxes our domestic corporations when they make money overseas. If he had broken down the bill into small pieces like that, we could have done it. If we could have seen more advance on the rollback of regulations, you saw him take a fairly dramatic step last week in rolling back the EPA new ozone rules from the EPA. If he had done 5 or 10 of those in this bill, it would have been extraordinarily helpful. Instead, what we got is some real cautious window dressing around the edges. It's almost as if he was afraid to upset his base. The example I give is the 3% withholding rule on government contracts. It's a very mundane, very deep down in the weeds issue, but the point of the matter is, if you're doing a contract with the government wants to withhold 3% of the contract value. In his speech, he said he was going to pass the rules to make it easier to do work with the government. When the bill comes out, he doesn't repeal that. He simply delays the implementation for a couple of years. So it's a lot of temporary fixes. It's a lot of Band-Aids. It's no real substantive change. My guess is it was designed to be a political talking point and not a real jobs bill.
And, of course, one of the big issues in the past day or two has been the funding issue, most of it from the closing of tax loopholes, as he puts it, having the wealthier Americans pay their fair share, as he would put it, as well as major corporations. What do you make of the funding on this, and do you think this has any oxygen either in the House or through the super committee?
And we're still digging through it. The numbers that we've seen so far, recognize we're looking at the summaries yet and not the underlying bill because we just got that late yesterday, looks like it's $420-odd billion in tax increases. That's not going to work. And the rhetoric is so damaging on the, you know, corporate jets. Well, it's not corporate jets. It's all private aircraft that are used by businesses. So the little one-engine Cessna that a small building contractor uses in South Carolina to get from, you know, southern South Carolina to eastern North Carolina to look at a job. You know, is that really the super wealthy in the president's mind? So the rhetoric just doesn't match up with the actions. It's like I said, it's been one disappointment after another.
You obviously spend some time with your constituents in the district. You obviously bring your own philosophy to the table on what will create jobs. What did you hear during the district work period, and what do you expect you and your Republican colleagues to put forward as an alternative?
You know, I'm going to answer the question, and you're not going to believe me when I say it because it sounds like it's contrived. They want regulatory relief. I went into a plywood manufacturing plant in my district that will likely shut down if the EPA rules on new boiler emissions, things that make steam and heat for the manufacturing process. I never thought I would go through a plant tour and have rank-and-file blue-collar workers complaining to me about EPA regulations. But folks are starting to realize that those types of regulations really do impact their pocketbook, and it's one thing everybody can focus on. I said, look, the air was plenty clean 2 years ago. Water was plenty clean 2 years ago. There was no reason to put people out of work for this very marginal increase in the quality of the air. So as hard as it might be to imagine, it's trickled down that deep into our culture now where people recognize that government regulation is preventing us from adding jobs, and that's what I hear a lot of when I go back.
Get a little more specific on some of these regulations, if you can, Congressman, because, of course, the defense, as we heard from the president's speech last week and elsewhere, has been exactly what you mentioned, that they need to be clean water and clean air. You, of course, say that it was just fine a couple of years ago. So what exactly are some of these folks, whether it's the plywood plant or elsewhere, having to deal with that they didn't have to deal with just a year or two ago?
Well, they've got it's called Boiler MACT, M-A-C-T. And it's essentially a new standard the EPA is proposing. I think it was supposed to go into effect sometime this year. I think it's now been delayed by an additional 12 or 18 months. But it's still right on the future, or right on the horizon, and essentially sets a standard that we cannot hit. No technology exists to hit this standard. What the EPA has said is, well, the reason we don't have the technology is that we haven't mandated the standard. Once we mandate the standard, then the technology will catch up. It's an outrageously expensive proposition and an outrageously unknowable condition. If you don't know you could even hit that standard, some large businesses certainly might be able to do it. I have a paper plant in my business that's going to cost them $25 million. Will they do it? Sure, because they're a large operation, but this little plywood plant is not. Now, saying that, it's the largest private employer in this depressed little county that I represent, where I think unemployment is probably 15 or 18%. So it's real. It's not attainable, and the marginal improvement in the quality of the air is almost laughable, and the price that we pay is tremendously large. And that gets to the larger consideration about EPA, about the Clean Air Act. You know, we need to start doing real cost benefit analysis before we impose these regulations for the sake of regulations. They do have a social cost. They do put people out of work, and we need to sit down and measure whether or not we want slightly, and I mean infinitesimally, but cleaner air, or do we want to put 400 people out of work? And that's a real debate that needs to take place.
Congressman, as we let you go here, what's your sense on what we'll see over the rest of this session between this and spending bills? Do you get the sense that there will be much common ground when you've got folks like David Axelrod saying it's all or nothing, or do you suspect that we'll be having the same debate all throughout next year?
You know, the all or nothing thing, I saw that in the news last night as the president was going, you know, pass my bill. It's not an a la carte. You know, take it or leave it. What kind of attitude is that in Washington? I mean, isn't that the exact attitude that people are complaining about? Isn't that why Congress's approval ratings are so low? I mean, take it or leave it? Is that really how he expects us to run the government? I mean, I expect he expected it to fail when he offered it. He wants it to fail so that he can run against the Republicans, as opposed to running against his opposition in the next campaign cycle. It sort of pulls back the veil on what this whole charade is about with this jobs bill, which is it's part of his campaign, and we'll treat it as such.
Congressman, very interesting. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Greg.
South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney represents the Palmetto State's 5th Congressional District. He's also the chairman of the Contracting and Workforce Subcommittee of the House Small Business Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.